Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
We're going to get into our message today. It's not a live your best life message. Can I say that this morning? You know, we try to make things very, very positive, and this is positive because it's truth. But it's not a feel-good message about living your best life. It's about eternity. The title of it is God's Will Is That None Should Perish. And we're living in the last days, and it's his will that all would be saved. But here's the thing that we talk about a lot. We always say, it's never too late. Oh, it's never too late. That is not the truth. That is absolutely not the truth. In life, there's a lot of things that are actually too late. And there does come a time, we're going to be talking about Noah, when it is too late to make a decision to receive Christ and live for Christ. And even in the natural, you know, I knew of a young lady that had got went through a terrible divorce and was remarried. And years later, the ex-husband called her mother and said, can I speak to this person? And the mother said, she's remarried. It's too late, basically. And if you don't turn in your invitation to the wedding, there's a time when you have to RSVP by a certain time, right? Or it is too late to attend. Same thing with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we are here and we're all saved today. But here's the thing. This message is really not about you. Okay, you're saved. You're redeemed by the blood. What that means is that your sins are forgiven. All your past sins are forgiven. All the sins you committed today and yesterday are forgiven. All the sins that you will commit in the future, they're forgiven because you've received the cross in Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. What about the other people? What about those who have not heard good news, who have not seen an example of Christ, that people have lived for Christ? God has given us the gift of today, even to turn our own lives around, to do things differently this new year. His mercies are new every morning, but never make the mistake of saying that it is never going to be too late, because that is simply not the gospel truth. And, you know, we need to do it now. We need to, when you're hurting and you're sick, you need to get help now, not later. I can remember a time when I needed surgery and I delayed about 4 years. Do you know how much worse it got? It got critical. That's how much worse it got. You know, if my life is falling apart, if things aren't going well, I need to turn to Jesus now, not later. Pastor Ken and I have a saying that we have said to one another for years, sooner is better than later. Let me explain that. If I need to go to the doctor, sooner is better than later, right? If I need to bless somebody, sooner is better than later. We do not need to delay. I want to tell you something about obeying the word of God. To delay is to disobey. Did you know that? The Bible says repeatedly, Abraham got up immediately the next morning and did exactly what God told him to do. So if God has told us to do his word, we need to do it today. Because let me read, sometimes pride gets in our way. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Ken. But I want to read one scripture from Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 that really will hit home. It's interesting. Listen to it. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Did you catch that? While he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. This is now, while he may be found. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But it's while he may be found, while he is near. Pastor Ken?
This is a very serious message with because sometimes we don't take our own salvation seriously. Sometimes we don't take our own relationship with God seriously. And we see that all through the Bible. Although there were people that were identified as God's people, we were able to look behind the scenes what God actually thought of them. And he said, they are rebellious people. They are ungrateful people. They don't trust me. They don't love me. And how often has God asked that question? You know, where's the love for me? Where's the respect for me? And you're right, Pam. We do, because of the great mercy of God, we only hear about that it's never too late. Since I have an electronic Bible, as I read through it, I tend to categorize scripture. This is a scripture on healing. This is one on the Holy Spirit. This is one on repentance. So I just have hundreds of categories. One of the categories that I had, and as I read through the Bible, is how the wicked reject God. And those are heartbreaking scriptures. And those are scriptures that are easy to get behind. Yeah, look at those atheists, how they reject God. But do you know that I kept running across scriptures? I had to make a new category called God's people rejecting God. And you would not, I was going to read you some scriptures, but there are so many of them throughout the Bible. If I read all the scriptures where God's complaining about my people have rejected me, we'd be here, you know, for a couple of hours. There's so many, Old and New Testament. There were so many, I'm not going to read any of them. There's just so many. You know, but even in the New Testament, we see they asked Jesus to leave. You know, that his own, and that wasn't just sinners. It was, at one point, it says everyone abandoned him. Isn't that interesting? So I saw a video the other day of just a random video of a couple that had missed their flight, and they were saying, your plane has left, and they were just screaming, get it back here. Get that plane back here. I've got to be home tonight. I've got to be home tonight. And they're like, you understand the airplane is gone. But they were just demanding to see a supervisor. They were demanding to see a manager. And the problem is, once that airplane is gone, all the supervisors and managers in the world that you want to complain to, it's gone. Vic, have you ever had a time when the plane's taxiing and they said, go back to the gate and get that couple that showed up? They don't go back. What? Yeah. Me and my wife went on one cruise about 6 years ago. It's the only cruise I've been on. But when they stopped in a port, Leslie said, let's go outside and watch all the late people. Because they'd always told us about the late people. And so, sure enough, you just see people running at the last minute. And not everyone missed it. There was a couple that, oh my goodness, they were so late, but they just got in by the skin of their teeth. No, it wasn't me. No, I did not want to get stuck in some foreign country, you know, and going. But think of how that relates to the second coming of Jesus. The Bible says when he comes back, it will be a day of mourning. There's a few people today that are going to be disappointed that are going to the Super Bowl because they bought their tickets. But guess what's wrong with their tickets? They got Super Bowl tickets cheap. It says right here, row one. Look here. Print it on a piece of paper. And they're going to find out when they get to the gate that they have a fake ticket. That they counted on something. They took a shortcut. I heard a story of a famous wedding singer they invited this famous person to come sing at the wedding, the RSVP, that's what made me think of it. She got her invitation, said RSVP, and because it was a famous singer and a famous wedding, they were having lobster and shrimp and steak. I mean, it was, you know, it was one of these very expensive weddings. And she showed up at the reception, and they said, can we see your, she had not responded, and she was not able. Now, think about this. She sang in the church. She sang in the church, but didn't get to attend the wedding banquet. And a lot of us sing in the church, but that doesn't mean we're necessarily going to the wedding banquet. It's a great testimony that we come to Jesus when we're broken. And when you come to Jesus, what do you have to bring? Just as you are. Just as I am, without one plea. You come to Jesus in your brokenness, and you don't bring anything. You bring your sins. The cross is a place of exchange. You exchange your sin and your filthy garments for his glory. And that's wonderful. And I think many of us came to Jesus because we were desperate. But the gospel isn't just about, in case of emergency, break glass. What is the gospel about? It's a love story. It's about, and that's Old and New Testament. What did the Old Testament say? That you should love the Lord God with all of your heart. Right? That was it. But the New Testament really expands that. The passion that we would have for Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. Put this in the context of friendship. Well, let's talk about relationships. You have family that you desperately love. You have family that you desperately don't love. You have friends that are close to you. You have acquaintances that you hardly know. What kind of a friendship is it when the only time your friend calls you is when they want money or when they need something? You get to be where it's like your phone rings and you look at the caller ID, and not only do you see who it is, but you already know what it is they want. They're not calling to say, I love you. They're not calling to say, how are you doing? They're calling to say, you know, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. But is that a good friendship, Pam? Whether it's a one-way friendship. And here's the thing. You have your own personality. There's only one Frida. Thank God. I don't know why I just slammed Frida, but it just seemed like a joke that was just sitting there. I couldn't let it go. But Frida's like, I will so get you back. On my behalf. The thing about every personality, and we are all so unique in this place. Every person is so unique. But we never consider that God has a personality. That God has a heart. You know, you never think of the fact, Pam, that my dad in the natural can be hurt. Or that, you know, he's dad. He's a rock. Nothing bothers him. And you think that way about God sometimes. That, you know, whatever. He gets rejected. He's used to it. He's God. He's all love. So many times in the Bible does God say, my heart is broken. Yeah. And that breaks my heart to hear that God's heart is broken. That, and you go, well, how could God be sad? Well, let me ask you something. How are you? The reason you're sad is because you have his emotions. You're like him. When you laugh, that's what it feels like when God laughs. God laughs. He cries. He's jealous. He's sometimes angry. The same emotions you have, God can have. And we had an excellent men's meeting yesterday. I want to thank all the men. But one of the things that Mark had talked about and I had been thinking about for a while is that everyone kind of lives in their own bubble. You've created your own, you know, your life is your life. And you're used to where you work and where you eat and what you eat. And you've got your plans for the future. And the idea is, if God isn't the passion of our life, if we're not in love with God, you might have created a reality for yourself that's not reality at all. In other words, you're planning on going to the Super Bowl, but you don't realize that your ticket is not an official ticket. I mean, there are hundreds of scriptures that say, when you call out to me, I will answer. There really are. There's so many. That the thief on the cross, he got in at the last couple of minutes of his life. But you would not believe how many scriptures there are where God says, you have rejected me over and over, and when you call out to me, I will not listen. You know, it's all a question of the heart, you know. And we all have to examine. I'm examining myself in this area. You say, but I come to church and I do. What did Jesus think about religion? Religion was the opposite of relationship. So we cannot rely on our knowledge of the Bible or anything else. Everything has to do with how you feel about God and Jesus and whether he's on the throne of your life, whether he's the passion of your life. I don't want to miss it. And I don't want to fool myself into thinking that I've got something wrapped up that maybe I haven't even began to get wrapped up. Everyone in the universe, everyone that's ever been born is going to hear seven words. That's right. It's either going to be, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Those are seven words. Or there's another seven that you really don't want to hear. Depart from me, I never knew you.
And that really is true, that we can think we're something that we're not. I can make a strong case for that, and it's straight from the Word of God. It's out of Matthew, where he says that there will be some come in that great day that say, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? It's not about what we did. It's about what he did on the cross. It has nothing to do with what I do, whether good or bad. Actually, whether good or bad. I can get in if I've done bad things, and I can be left out if I've done good things, because it's not about what we've done. It's about what he did on the cross. And, you know, it is a great testimony for people to come when they're broken. It's what we should do. But I want to tell you of a greater testimony is the Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's a greater testimony to say, I have a good life. I'm very, very blessed. And why do you think that people would come because of the goodness of God? I can tell you why. Because it's a realization that I didn't deserve any of this, and yet God has still been good to me all of these years, even when I was in sin. And whether or not we say, you know, we believe in God, or we still depend on God for every breath. Every breath you take, every heartbeat that is beating in your chest is because of the grace and mercy of God. You're still dependent upon God. You know, that's the way that life is. And so we should come to God, especially during times of blessings. We should never allow ourselves to forget God. We should never allow ourselves to get complacent. I'm worried about Christians who are apathetic in their walk with Christ. I have shared this with my brother many times, and I'll share it with you. Maybe I've shared it with you before. I find that I don't believe that many people who say they believe in God actually believe in God. Or people as a whole, I don't believe they believe in a heaven or a hell. You know why? Because they don't live like it. They don't live joyful, like I'm planning on going to heaven. I have hope. They get real scared when the doctor's report comes in. They get real. I'm not saying we're not human. I get that. But you think they had no hope whatsoever. And, you know, we see that all the time. We see it all the time that people don't really, and they don't believe in hell, because if they really did believe in hell, that there was a real hell, that was a reality for some people, you'd be telling everybody you meet. You know, in this year of 2024, people have been saying 2024 is a year of more opportunity, more blessings. Let the blessings flow, more. How about 2024, I do more for God? I do more. I honor him more. I pray more. I read the word more. How about that? Because I don't want to, like Pastor Ken said, take that chance. I want to seek the Lord while he may be found. And, you know, in the year that we're living in right now, I have begun to do something more than I ever have before, and that's tell people, evangelize, tell people about Jesus Christ. And if you do my hair, you're going to hear about the miracles of Jesus. You're going to hear about things that have happened in my life. That's just the way it is. I mean, you know, my hairdresser's my friend. She started reading the Bible. She's Greek Orthodox. It's wonderful. It's, you know, but I'm just saying, these are things. If you're my waitress, I'm going to tell you that God provides for me. So here's, and by the way, you know, this is just, you know, I went to lunch one day and someone, I forgot who it was, asked me, said, did you give her a tract? And I'm just like, I don't really believe in tracts. I'm going to tell you that. That's just me. I believe faith comes by hearing. I don't think your waitress needs a tract. I think she needs to hear the word from you, and she needs a physical blessing from you. Show the love of God. You know, you don't, and so many tracts are poorly written. They're not, people just throw them away, toss them away. You do it if you want to, but I'm just saying faith comes by hearing. I want them to hear it from me, what God has done in my life. I want to, if I don't have the time to tell them, I'm not just going to, here, Ken, read this. You know, maybe this is going to help you, you know, or give them some, those tracts they used to have. What were they called? The horrible chick tracts. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, just big pictures of hell on them. Oh, that's going to bring somebody to Jesus. Not likely. I'm just being honest. You know, I know their hearts were in the right place. I get it. But the love of God, we need to show the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and talk about that. And I hope I didn't step on toes, because, you know, I've been there. I used to pass out tracts, you know. But I think there's just a better way. Can we perfect this a little bit? And, you know, I want people to know that. But so many times, I used to give myself a pass. and make excuses for why I didn't share the love of Christ with people, you know what that's called? That's called fear and being ashamed of Jesus and who you are. That's what that's called. Because I used to make excuses, and now I would say to myself, there really wasn't a clear opportunity here, Ken. It's like, are you kidding me? You know, you're like 2 feet from me. There is an opportunity. Create one. If I'm in the doctor's office, I will begin to tell my doctor, you know, she's, you know, a good doctor. And I say, thank you for everything you do. And I'm trusting Jesus and I'm depending on Jesus, but I know he's using you. I can see Christ in you. I can see that he's using you. That's how we talk to other people. But this should be the year, because I don't want to ever hear those words. I don't want to think that I'm somebody that I'm really not, because I realize more than ever, like in the days of Noah, that it can be too late. We cannot build the tornado shelter when the sirens are going out off and when the trumpet is sounding, can we? It's not going to work that way, is it, Pastor Ken?
No, you've got to prepare. You've got to plan ahead, especially because this is the biggest decision of our life, is which kingdom we're in, whether we're in heaven or hell. You know, serving God, to really put a smile on God's face, is to serve God in the good times. Now, it's also necessary to serve God. But think about it. During the good times, you don't need God, so why cry out to him? But in the bad times, it's kind of like, God, I'm desperate for you now. And maybe God's thinking to himself, yeah, but as soon as things get good enough, I won't hear from you again. And again, that's a bad, bad friendship. So, you know, your example of preparing ahead of time would be Noah, yeah. Who... I think you told me once, was it 70 years? Is that how long it took him to build the ark? So Pam says it took 70 years for him to build that. Why does it take so long? Because he didn't have help. Right? No one, he's preaching to everyone. And you know, he's preaching to everyone. There's a flood coming. I'm preparing an ark. And everyone's like, yeah, good luck with that, Noah. So for 70 years, he's talking about judgment's going to come, and I'm guessing he became a laughingstock. I don't know. I don't know if they thought he was crazy. I don't. I'll have to ask him. What did the townspeople say to you? I know that when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, that there just wasn't any righteous people in the town. We need an ark for when judgment comes. You say, well, Pastor Ken, should we build an ark? We already have an ark. The Ark of the Covenant. We have a covenant. And you go, yeah, that's interesting. I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark. You miss. So the thing about the ark is Indiana Jones said it's the greatest archaeological discovery that anyone could make. That's what he said in the movie. But what he missed was the ark wasn't about artifacts. The Bible says that over the mercy seat was the Shekinah glory of God. The ark isn't about looking inside and seeing broken Ten Commandments and manna. The ark is about the mercy seat, that the presence of God is there. And you say, but does the ark have relevance to me? Well, are you ever going to go to the mercy seat? The mercy seat is your seat. That's my seat, you know. Make sure the seat you're sitting in doesn't say judgment on, you know, I'm sitting here in the judgment seat. No, get out of that judgment seat, because the bottom opens up. No one falls into heaven. They fall into hell. They fall into sin. It's hers. We choose with our heart. There's no checklist. Were you there on Sunday morning? There's no checklist. How many hours did you pray? It's all a matter of the heart. And the thing is, God knows even your innermost thoughts. Again, I'll go back to the bubble, that you could be living in a bubble where you think the world is one way. And maybe you're very comfortable with the way your world is. What happens if that gets shattered? And I hate to talk about the negative things, but in one day, the person you love the most could be gone. And one day, that job that you've been counting on, and that's your life. This is my job. This is my identity. This is where I work. This is my retirement. Well, we're cutting you. God, how could you let this happen? And a bubble is usually fragile, right? You blow a bubble, it's just hanging in there. And you might think, oh, no, my bubble is solid. But it can happen so quickly. How often has things been great, and an hour later you're like, everything has just, my bubble burst, and I don't have what I thought I had, and my life has been turned upside down. And you say, well, would God let that happen? Yes. What do you mean, yes? Job. He had this bubble. He was prosperous. He had children. He had crops. But Satan and God talked about it, and God knew it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the crops. It wasn't about the prosperity. The whole question wasn't about finances. The whole question was about what will Job do when we turn his life, when Satan turns his life upside down. Because Satan was just sure. He only loves you, God, because he's blessed. He only loves you because he is rich. You think that Job would still serve you if he lost some people, if he lost some things? And that's got to be part of our life. Yes, we are blessed. I am so blessed. I have a house. I have a wonderful wife. I have a wonderful church. And up until yesterday, we had a furnace. How could the furnace break? It was working. Now it's not working. But what Job did with no preaching, no New Testament, just a relationship with God on the worst day of his life, when the tornado had ripped off the whole house, there's still a foundation. He actually didn't have a tornado. You have a foundation. When he fell to the ground, he was falling on his foundation, which is his love for God, because God said, I believe in him. Have you considered Job? God knew that he would still, and come on, he even had people in his life saying, why don't you curse God? That's so, to say, God, why did you do this? God, all he wants to see is, are you as desperate for me in bad times and in good times? And does your love for me change? And you say, but I heard the prosperity message. Well, let me preach you my prosperity message from Paul. He said, we were shipwrecked, hit in the head, left for dead. We had nothing to eat. We were at trial. We have stripes on our back. And here he is in chains, in jail, with stripes on his back. And they say, why don't we start singing some psalms? Let's sing some praise songs. That's character. The fire does not change your character. It reveals your character. And that Richard Wurmbrunn, when he was being tortured in prison for being a Christian, a whole group of them were in there. And I always remember this story. They took him out and they beat him up. And he came back in the jail cell, and he, with all of his Christian brothers and sisters, they were all in one cell, and he was clearly hurt. And everyone was saying, you know, these men are going to go to hell, and we hate them. And he said, would everyone be quiet? They said, why? He said, because I'm praying for them. Character, yeah. Revealing our character. Is God going to get you out of that situation? Now listen to me. Yes, but maybe not in the way you think. Did God heal Kathy Pageant? Yes, he did. You say, I don't think he did. You should see her now. You should see her dancing now. She's pretty much in charge, or trying to be in charge of heaven. She is organizing things. She's organizing things right now in heaven. I'm going to turn this to Pam, but the answer of whether God's going to get you out of it, I'll ask my brother Shadrach, and he'll say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this. I don't know if God's going to save us or not right now, but we are not bowing our knee So praise God. Sometimes God is going to come through in the miracle, but sometimes you're like Paul. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're going to serve God no matter what, and that's going to put a giant smile on his face.
It really is true. Adversity doesn't build character at all. It just reveals who you were all the time. Like we always talk about the pilots with the black boxes and stuff, that who you are comes out in hard times, whether you are someone who honors God and praises God or whether you're someone who's going to rail at God, blame God, you know, it's your fault, God, you did this to me. And it really is. It shows who we are, and things do change. And today is today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we should prepare. When Noah was being mocked and when they were, you know, the townspeople, they probably were sitting there thinking, we have not seen rain in years, in literally years. There's not a cloud in the sky. And he's building a boat. And when you think of building a boat, you know, you got to know they did mock him. You know, there's a lot of things that aren't in the word that I can see. This was not a little boat. He was building a boat that was humongous. Go to Kentucky and see it. Go see it. It was amazing. You know they mocked him. What did he do? He kept building. He kept doing exactly what God told him to do. No matter if you're mocked, you keep doing what God has told you to do. And it is, and Ken's right, Pastor Ken's right, it comes out of left field. I, forever in my memory, is that Wednesday driving to Chick-fil-A. I was almost there, going to get my five-piece nugget, my medium diet Dr. Pepper. Seeing Amy flash on the phone. I hit the Bluetooth, and I had just talked to Bill about an hour before. Goodbye, Pam. I love you. Talk later. Dad's on the ground. The paramedics can't revive him. They can't revive him. Help, help, help. Bring him back to life. Do something. You can do it, Aunt Pam. You can do it. You can do it. And the first thing I knew, and then she's off the phone. Then Joy's calling. Then Laurie's calling. And they're screaming. He's at the hospital. They're working on him. They're working on him. And my next call was Bill's gone. And I was like, no, he's not. No, this can't be. I just talked to him. He's gone. He is gone. And I'm like, thank you, God, for the life. Thank you for my brother-in-law that I love with all my heart, that loved me, that stood by me when no one else would. But it comes out of nowhere. We've got to be ready. And we've got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And we've got to be ready for other things. And picture them with Noah. And, you know, I think one of my favorite songs, maybe Tony and Ken can do this at the end and Frieda and them, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know, that's not a song we just sing when we get saved. That's a song we need to sing every single day. I'm deciding today, I'm going to follow Jesus today, every day of my life. And the people that perished in the ark, that perished outside the ark. You didn't perish if you were in the ark. You did not die if you were in the ark. No one died in the ark. The ones who were outside the ark, they were without excuse. And that is you and I. On that day, is there any excuse we will have to tell the Lord? And there's really not. You can save your excuses. You can go ahead and tell him everything you did, like they say is going to happen. It's not going to make a difference. But there's something else that I thought of. The ark actually represents something. The ark was made of wood. The ark, do you realize that the same waters that the other people drowned in, they floated above? Do you know that the same waters they drowned in, we get baptized in? God is so good. The ark represents the cross. And Isaiah 43:2 is one of my just all-time verses. When you pass through the waters, what waters? Waters of affliction, waters of adversity, waters that threaten to drown you, waters in a storm. I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, not just low water, now we got rivers, they will not overtake you. When you walk through the fire, how many of you have ever felt like you are walking through fire, a fiery trial? You will not be burned. Just like the Hebrew children, the flames will not set you on fire. You're already on fire for God. Flames aren't going to set you on fire. I believe something else. Let's take it a step further. You see the wood around this church. You see the cross, see the wood, see the wooden pews, wood everywhere. I believe the church is an ark of safety, that you come inside to honor the cross, and you can float. You can float on the waters then. You can face storms. You can face giants. You can face fires. You can face attacks of the enemy. And God has given us instructions how we can stay safe and what to do. And we need to keep doing that, what we're doing, especially in these last days. And we tend to think something else, another thing. We tend to think that only the unbelievers need to repent. I actually have someone in my life who told me, said, you never need to repent of anything because you're saved already. Excuse me? If I do something to Pastor Ken, I do something and I committed offense against him, I don't have to say anything. We already have a relationship here going. We don't have to say I'm sorry at all. Really? You don't have to ask God for anything. They said that too. You don't have to ask God for anything. God knows what you want. He knows what you need. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. It says to repent, and that means believers too. We need to live. And you know, revival is not marked by jumping and dancing and climbing over pews. It's not marked by a frenzy. I'm not saying you can't get excited about God. I'm not saying you can't clap. I clapped this morning. But I'm saying it's marked by repentance. I am repenting. That's what brings revival in our hearts. And we need to call on Jesus every single day. Malachi 3:7, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, commands, and you have not kept them. Return to me, and then I will return to you, says the Lord. God isn't the one who's left us. Sometimes we're the one who has left God. But I want to, one more thing, I'm going to hand this to Pastor Ken. I want to read, well, two verses. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, he was warned about things to come, in holy fear, in honor of God, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir to righteousness that comes by faith. He put his faith in God. God is serious about his commands, and there is going to come a day when it's too late. It's not today, not right now, because we're here, and thank God for it. 2 Peter 2:5 says, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God did not spare them. And there are going to be people who by their own choice do not make it. But I don't want to be one of them. But it's not about me. Remember, I said this message isn't about me. I am saved. I am blood bought. It's about those who need to hear. And that's where you and I come in. You want to know what homework is this week? Find someone, and tell them about Jesus.
So if Noah spent almost 70 years building an ark, that's like an entire lifetime. It's like our lifetime that we're preparing. Something's going to happen in the future. And, of course, people might say, well, there's no clouds in the sky. I don't know what you're talking about. Haven't you looked at the job report? You're talking about doom and gloom and bad things are coming to the earth and there's going to be meteors and one-third of the earth is going to die. Have you seen the jobs report and the economy? And don't you realize that they're building a new grocery store? Things are good. Things are good. We are living in the days of Noah. In the days of Judges, it says that the people did what was right in their own eyes. And, of course, that's such a, you know, I firmly believe that every person has to live a life of self-reflection. You have to judge yourself. It's difficult for me to tell Pam, here's where the areas you need to judge yourself in, because we're just going to end up getting in a fight, you know. Because it sounds like an accusation, But if we judge ourselves and let the Holy Spirit judge us now, we're like, I mean, if the Holy Spirit tells you that you're being selfish, what are you going to do? When you recognize in your heart that you're living for yourself and that you don't have love for God. By the way, there's been times in my life that I really recognize that my love for Jesus is nowhere where it needs to be. But instead of accepting that and say, that's just how I am, I've prayed about that. And say, God, grow my love for you. Open my eyes. Open my heart. Give me a heart of compassion. Those things are not static. They don't just stay the same. We should be changing. We should be drawing close to God. And I'll tell you something you already know. And something that actually shocks me is that we've had thousands and thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons spread out throughout the world. Good countries, bad countries, poor countries, rich countries, and now even some countries that would be considered dictatorships and possibly dangerous, like North Korea. I'm actually amazed that since Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that someone hasn't. But do you realize that threat hangs over our head? You go, why is that a threat? What do you think would happen if one country launched one nuclear bomb against another country? Then they launch, then their friends launch. Do you think there's any tomorrow if the world decides to start launching nuclear bombs at one another? First of all, the fallout, the radiation, the destruction. What I'm saying is the bubble that we all live in, this earth, that every single person, if there was a nuclear war today, Starbucks ain't open tomorrow. No. You know, the things we think of, because there's no electricity and there's no trucks and there's no, and the grocery stores. Come on, we have a snowstorm for 4 days and we run out of toilet paper. What do you think happens? I'm just saying destruction can happen so suddenly. And the end of the earth is going to happen suddenly. And I'm sure that Noah was mocked, but he just kept working. And you're going to be mocked for serving God. And people are going to say there is not going to be a rainstorm. But God said it. And we know that the difference between our Bible and every other Bible is the prophecies that one after the other come true. It's a self-proving document. As someone who loves music, I'm often very critical of lyrics, especially stupid lyrics from, you know, pop songs. It's like, oh, come on. They didn't even put any effort in this. They're just repeating, you know, she loves me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not even trying. It's nothing. But, and there's some songs that are just dumb, right? And initially, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. But I'm going to give this song a complete pass about just repeating the lyrics, because that is a lyric you need to repeat. That is a declaration. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I love every verse of that song. Though none go with me, still I, come on, you're going to be in that situation all the time. And then that last verse that says, you could take the whole world, but give me Jesus. And that needs to be the attitude of our heart. Hang on, give me just another couple of minutes here. I heard two stories about fire. And this is a repeat, but I don't care. There was a forest fire, and the forest rangers, after the fire, they were walking through all the destruction where all the trees had been burned down, and the fire had burned out and was past that point. And as they were walking past all these dead animals, they walked past a bird that was on the ground. And the bird was clearly burned and dead. But they heard something. They heard a noise right where the bird was, and they flipped the bird over. And underneath the bird was three baby birds that were alive and well. And so here's this bird had used its body to shield. I heard another story about a woman that ran to the store, and her family was home. And when she drove to her house, there were fire trucks in front of the house. There was police. There was like 30 people, you know. There was flames shooting out of her house. And she got out of the car, and she sprinted towards the front door, and the fireman stopped her. He grabbed her. He said, no way. There is no way you're going in that house. She saw that she had a baby in the house. That's what she was concerned with. She saw the baby wasn't there. And the fireman was holding her back. And when she knew that the baby wasn't outside, she broke the tackle. She should be playing today. Because she was desperate. So even though they were holding her back, she broke through. And she disappeared into the house. And no one followed her. They're just like, you can't go in there. And they said 3 minutes later, she comes bursting out the front door, covered in burns, and holding in her hands a blanket, and wrapped up in the blanket was her child. And I love that story because that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He went into the fire and got burned. He got the scars, just like that mother has the scars. But he protected us. All right, I'll turn that over.
I have questions. What kind of mother? Okay, that's all. Say, the baby's in the house. The mother's outside. Gone to the store. I just have questions. I like what she did. I like what she did. I'm going to cut her some slack, but it's hard. I'm a mother. No, God is good. He is faithful. This is going to be my last thing. I hope we are going to do our song. Can we do our I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? I want to say this in closing. We sang a song today, didn't we, the choir? When the trumpet of the Lord will sound. We sing that song, but are we listening for the trumpet? Do we really believe the trumpet? My question is of the hour is, do you believe the trumpet is going to sound? Are we just singing that? Well, I haven't heard no trumpet. We don't even have a trumpet up here. Is the trumpet going to sound? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we need to be faithful to Christ until then. We need to be telling Jesus. And, you know, in Noah's day, this is my final thought. In Noah's day, there was something interesting to me. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. So he was preaching to the people. So what do you think he was telling them? He was warning them. Of course he was. Because God's will is that none should perish. So he's telling them. And the boat was plenty big, by the way. The boat was plenty big. And they could have built their own boat. He could have said, this is what you do for your family. That's what we tell people. I'm not responsible for your family, just to a point. You are. But here's the thing. They heard sermons for about 70 years. It's not enough to hear a sermon, is it? Because we have to invite God into our lives. We have to prepare for the time to be in the ark of safety. Otherwise, where are we going to be? We're going to be outside. We're going to be on the outside. And if you've never had regret in your life, if you have regret on that day, that's going to be the worst feeling. I've thought of that before. Have you ever thought of that? Like, how would you react if you didn't get in on that day? If God said, I know you thought you did all this, and I give you that, but depart from me. We never had a relationship. I never knew you. We have to make a decision today, and I think that we can do it. We can sing it. We can sing it. Let's sing the song I've Decided. Frida's going to lead us, definitely not me.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.